Well, I'm glad you made it this morning, safely and warm. Just wanted to say, as we get started this morning, how much I appreciate everybody being here. And the Setlift's helping me clear out some ice, spread some salt, and getting that broken up well for us, and just helping people out of the cars. This is the first time Kevin has been able to join us for Bible study, and Tony helped us out this morning just by giving us perspective and to be thankful for what we have, and Jerry just leading singing with joy and a smile on his face just to help us worship and praise, and just Mark's willingness to help us and put our hearts and our minds in the right place to see our Lord and Savior better and to commune with Him. And so I'm just very thankful for everybody just being here and doing your part and helping things go well together. And I know it may have been easier to consider the weather and just thought, we can just stay home, or we'll just cancel. But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you made this choice, and I know that God will look out for you, keep you safe, and get you back to your warm home and to lunch safely. But we are here, so we are going to actively pursue. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get into the Scripture. Father, we praise your holy name, and this morning we are grateful for the many blessings that you provide. Father, we thank you for giving us your Son, for giving him a body so that he could choose obedience and die for our sins. Blessed be his name. And Father, we are grateful that you love us and you know us. And Father, you made a plan for our sin. And you also know our faith. And we are so very grateful that you believe in us before we ever believed in you. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the moisture that we have. We thank you for everyone that was able to join us to pitch in, to help, and just to make things go well today. And we are grateful to draw near. And as we continue in our study, Father, we are actively pursuing. We are pressing on because you've given us an eternal goal. You have given us joy in our hearts. You have given us a cross to bear. You've given us footsteps of our Savior to walk in. And you've given us your Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide our way. We praise your name. And as we study today, I pray that you open our eyes. I pray, Father, that you point out where we can be more faithful. And I pray that you give us the strength to do the things that we know that are right to do. And that every day, in every circumstance, that our faith will hold strong. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, just a quick reminder from Philippians, we're taking Paul's idea, and it was the last Sunday in December, a few people were out of town, but we're just setting a purpose from Philippians of putting behind what is behind, forgetting what's behind, and pressing on to the goal, and that actual Greek word means to actively pursue, and so we are studying and looking at things that will help all of us wherever we are to continue to actively pursue our goal of Jesus Christ, to not become complacent, to not fall aside from our goal or to miss the mark, but to constantly and continually work our lives closer to where Jesus is and to where we want to be in all eternity. And so we have looked at actively pursuing. We have looked at the joy that God has put in our hearts, the joy that he has set before us in the resurrection from the dead. Last Sunday, we took a look at what Jesus said of taking up our cross and following him. And so today, we're going to take this lesson from 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, this was written from Paul's second round of prison. Timothy is not with him anymore, and so he's writing him some encouragement. Paul's coming to the end of his ministry, of his life. He is preparing the way for those that will continue in the gospel after he is gone. And he writes to Timothy, and he really gives him a wonderful description and prescription of how he can actively pursue Christ in his life and in his ministry. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1, the first thing I want us to see is in verse 6. Verse 6. If you're an underliner or a highlighter, I want you to underline fan into flame in verse 6. Fan into flame. So Paul says, look, you know the good news of Jesus. You have it in your heart. You have been entrusted with the gospel message. You have been entrusted with God's very own Holy Spirit. And that Spirit, just like a fire, needs to be fanned into flame. That is a wonderful thing for us to actively pursue, because wherever we are at, God's Spirit within us, it can just feel like it is building up and exploding and just providing great light and great heat. And at other times in our life, it just feels like maybe there's just an ember or two that are just kind of underneath some ash there. And the nature of fire, we've seen a lot on the news, but when fire runs out of fuel, what happens to it? It dies. It needs fuel to live. It needs fuel to burn, to do what it is meant to do. And Paul uses this idea with Timothy. He says, look, you've got this fire in your heart, and you've got to fan it into flames. If you've ever been, I know we have some campers in our group, and so you go camping, and you got that campfire at night, and we're roasting the marshmallows and keeping our toes warm, and you get up in the morning, you go out with the poker and see, is there anything still there? Are we starting fresh, or is it, there's a little bit of embers. So then we start to rebuild, and we start to get it back up, and we start to provide some oxygen and get that fire going again. And that's what Paul says to Timothy. He says, fan into flame. Fan into flame in verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. This is what we are fanning to keep alive, the Spirit of God in our hearts. And he says three things about it. He says, look, what has been given to us by Christ is not fear. Whatever we face, we don't face it with fear. We face it with power and love and self-control. Now, why those three things? Well, we have an enemy. We have an enemy that would love to pour water all over that fire that has been put within us. So we need power. We need power to face the enemy. Number two, the spirit God has given us is a spirit of love. That is how we interact and treat other people, with love, putting their needs above our own, considering other people, treating them properly and correctly, and looking out for them. The spirit we have been given is a spirit of love. And then finally, the spirit we have been given is a spirit of self-control. That means I am motivated and I have the willpower and the strength to do what is right, so that I will not get away from God's plan for my life, that I will not do bad things, that I will not seek after bad things, that I will not desire bad things, but instead I will make sure that my life is one that is consistent with the life of Jesus Christ. So let's turn over to Luke chapter 11, and we'll get some words from Jesus. Luke chapter 11. He's going to tie this in, and I've always thought that Luke's telling of this story is very interesting to me, and I receive a lot of strength from it. But he reminds us in this teaching who our Father is, how much He cares for us, and how he actually answers our prayers, our desires, our questions. And so Jesus says about us to the Father in Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey. I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer him from within, do not bother me. The door is shut. My kids are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. But I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. He said, look, you're in a tough spot and you go to a friend and it's just not convenient for them. They're like, hey, we've already shut it down for the night. We've locked it down. This is really not a good time for me to be giving you what you're asking of me. He says, look, friendship will not drive him to get out of bed because, you know, family's in bed and the covers are all pulled up. And is there any other way? Can someone else help you? Because, whew, we are tucked in nicely. I really don't want to get back out. I don't want to do this. He says, it's not the friendship that'll get him out of bed. What gets him out of bed? Your unwillingness to quit asking, right? If you beat on that door and refuse to stop, your friend will eventually get up and go, okay, fine. Here, take the bread. Take the bread. Just get out of here. Leave us alone. And again, Jesus tells this story just about human nature because we understand this and we know to be true because it's not always convenient to do things for other people. And sometimes we want to get away with not doing the thing that they ask of us. And he says, yeah, but if you're persistent, if you are annoying, you're going to get what you want. Now, he takes this idea and he relates it to our relationship with our Father in heaven, which I personally love. So he says in verse 9, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, I love the ask, seek, knock, and Luke throws this in, that he says the answer to your prayers, what you are seeking from God, God's going to provide. He is your Father. He loves you. You know, you went to your dad and said, hey, Dad, I need something. And your dad gave it to you. He said, God loves you even more than that. God loves you even more than your earthly father, your earthly dad. And so when you go to your Father in heaven and say, I need something. I'm looking for something. This is what I need, and I'm coming to you for it. And Jesus says, your Father in heaven is going to answer with more of the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you more of himself. He's going to give you more of his presence. He's going to give you more of what he has to give. And this is exactly what Paul is writing to Timothy and saying, look, that gift that you have been given by your father, you got to fan that. You got to fan that. You have to work on it and just make sure that it has the fuel and the materials to build it up. And Jesus says, what are those materials? Get to asking. Look for it. Knock on that door. Hey, I want this. I want more of you in my life, Lord. I need more of you in my life. And I'm not going to quit until I get it. That's a very interesting way to look at our Father in heaven, isn't it? But that's what Jesus says. He says, you got to keep on asking. Well, I prayed for that once. It didn't happen. I guess God doesn't work. Right? We hear this from people. Unfortunately, we hear this from ourselves sometimes. And Jesus is looking for you and I to go, well, keep asking. Keep asking. Now, I know It's human nature, because we sit there and go, oh, well, you know, so there's some things that God just doesn't want to give us. You're right. But when the answer to all of his prayers is more of him, you're going to get it. If more of him is he takes care of whatever it is you think you're going through, then you're going to get it. If more of him means faith just to press on with what you have, you're going to get it. More of him, his presence in your life, the Holy Spirit, that's what we're asking for, that's what we're seeking, that's what we are knocking about. I need this. We don't even know, Scripture tells us we don't even know how to pray, right? So of course, me asking God to provide something, what I think may be the answer to my prayer, may not be what is best for me or what I really need. I have to trust God that he knows what's best, and I trust him to answer and provide what I need. And ultimately, what I need is him. I mean, I may think it's that, okay, Lord, you know, I need you to provide this food. I'm hungry. I need you to provide strength for me to get through this difficult time. I need you to fix this aspect of my life, or I need you to take care of this thing that's going on. And Jesus says, what you need is the Lord himself. And if you seek him, that's what he gives. More of himself. All right, back to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 9. He says we are given a holy calling. A holy calling. God who saved us and called us to a holy calling. Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace. So, God has given us purpose and grace. That is our holy calling. He has called us to himself. He has invited us and made us a part with himself. Paul says God has called us to a holy calling. That means with the gospel and with his purposes, that it's not just about, okay, well, my sins are forgiven, I'm good, so my purpose now is just to be in a holding pattern until Jesus can just come back and just make everything okay. We know Paul's life. We know his willingness to sacrifice himself. We know the life of Jesus. We read about it in Hebrews chapter 3, where he was given a body. He was allowed to live in flesh. Why? For the purpose of giving that flesh back to the Father. He was given the option of being obedient so that he could give that life as a gift back to the Father and say, I trust you all the way to death because I know that you are the one that can get me through death. That's the amazing thing about Jesus is we partook of his body and his blood today. What an awesome reminder that Jesus in spirit says, I will come down with them and I will take on what they go through so that I can show them what they can go through. And that's why we celebrate it, because he did it perfectly. He brought life to completion. And that is obedience to God, because in the end, God's not looking for, okay, well, you followed this rule, you followed that rule, and you did a pretty good job. No, God is looking to write on our hearts his laws and say, live for me. Live for me every day. What's the best decision? The best decision is the one that exalts our Father in heaven. We've been brought to a holy calling. So we live like Jesus, and we share the good news of how Jesus lived for us. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there's no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness Because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness in the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So God's gift to us, the good news, is that God says, here's my son. I give him to you. He's here with me. We are completely together. He is a part of me. We are one. And I give him to the world to be obedient and to die so that everyone who looks upon him, who hears about what he has done, we put our faith in his act so that we can receive credit. That's what God calls us to. And that's what we call the lost to. Sometimes we get in our heads so much and we get so scared to tell others the good news about Jesus. But the good news about Jesus is the good news of what the Creator of all things saw fit to do for us. He looked at us, every single one of us, and our lives and all the mess that we made, and he says, here, I have the solution and it can be yours. And you have to believe it and you have to trust it. And if you will do that, then all is good. All is solved. All is taken care of. That's what God has done for us. And that is this holy calling to receive the grace of God that he has held out for the world to receive and then included us in that purpose of sharing it with others. And so as we actively pursue Christ, as we are not just going to get saved and, well, I'm baptized, I'm good, I'll just show up to church and I'll just do my own thing. I'll just leave everybody alone. No, we're called to more than that. We are called to a higher purpose. We are called to a heavenly calling. That yes, I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And yes, other people need that too. So we are to actively pursue this. We're to actively pursue this. All right, the third thing, back in 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 12, Paul says about himself that God is able to guard what has been entrusted to me. And then in 14, he says, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. So underline, guard the good deposit. The Spirit of God that has been put in our hearts needs to be guarded. The Spirit of God, like a fire, has to be tended and fanned to stay lit and to keep burning. And the Spirit of God that now dwells in our hearts must be protected. It must be protected. So we have a responsibility to protect the deposit that God has put in us. We received it by faith. We hear the good news. We put our hope and our faith in God and in what Jesus has done for us in his life leading up to Calvary. And we believe that God brings him back in the resurrection of the dead. And that good news now lives in here and guides our steps. It guides our lives and it must be guarded. Why must it be guarded? Well, because it can be lost. It can be tainted. It can be wrecked. It can be set down. It can be laid to waste. It has been given to us. And unfortunately, those who receive the gift that God gives them, not everybody takes care of it. Not everybody takes care of it. And so Paul says to Timothy, that gift that you have been given, it must be taken care of. You must guard what has been entrusted to you. Again, the Bible likes the word, Jesus likes the word, being a good steward, right? Being a good steward. If something happened to you right now, and I said, okay, wherever they're at right now, parents, I'm going to throw this at you. Don't look at them. Don't give it away. But if one of your kids had to take over and take care of you right now, who's it going to be? Don't give it away. Don't give it away. Don't look at them. No eye contact. Kids, don't look at them. I know kids are like, Is that me?
Yeah, exactly. Tori's like, I can't look at anybody.
That's a situation that we're in. That's a situation that we're in. We're entrusted with things, right? And sometimes the things that we're entrusted with, we don't feel qualified for. And if something happened to me or my spouse, I'm like, oh. Or if something happened to me and I needed one of my boys to step up and take care of Sonny now, Sonny's like, uh-oh. I will pray that she does not have to face such a thing. So I will pray that you meet our Lord and Savior first, and I'll get to deal with that. It's love. It's love. It's true sacrifice. Paul says to Timothy, you've been given something very precious and very important. Guard it. Take care of it. Be a good steward with it. The Spirit of Jesus that lives in us, we must be good stewards with it. We don't just go, okay, well, God gave us a gift, so I'm just going to, it's there, but I'm just going to ignore it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to take care of it. I'm not going to tend to it. What happens to things when they are not taken care of, when they are not tended to? Not good, is it? No, it's not. And so this thing that has been entrusted to us, in verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. So by the power of the Spirit, you're going to guard the presence of the Spirit and the good news of Jesus Christ. You're going to protect those things. You're going to protect those things. You're going to guard them. Actively pursuing Christ, and this is important, actively pursuing Christ sometimes means we're going to have to play defense. Sometimes actively pursuing Christ means I'm going to get out there and I'm going to share what God has given me with others. And sometimes actively pursuing Christ means I'm going to work right here to make sure that what I have received is good and safe and healthy and strong. Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23, I'll quote it, or read it, I guess. It's a quick one, but it's a good one. Proverbs 4:23, keep or guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. This is your life. This is your life, your heart, who you truly are. I saw it's. I don't know if you saw it. But they say that we're pretty close to getting to the point to where they can download you into a computer, a robot basically. That they're getting really close to that, to taking your consciousness and putting it into a robot body so that you can live forever. Because they know, we all know, this body's going to wear out. This body's not going to last. So they are working, and there was a lot of news on it this week, actually, that they're getting really close to being able to take you, your essence, and put it in, you know, download, basically, and put it in this robot or computer body, and it can last. And so your body, this flesh and blood, it doesn't last. It's okay. Your essence will be preserved and will be right there, and you can just live forever. Now, that is quite a thing, right? It's quite an idea. But God knows that the most important part of us is us. So he says, guard your heart, because that's where your true life is. This is who you are. This is who you are. This is what's really important. You may lose a part of your body. You're still you, right? You may struggle with something pretty big. You may be knocked down. You may get sick. You may lose a limb, all right? We can lose a lot and still be us. He says, guard your heart, because that's who you truly are, and that's where you truly are. And so as we guard the deposit, because where we truly are, where and who we are, God has chosen to go straight to that place and say, I'm going to put my Spirit right there. I'm going to put my spirit right there. So we'll finish it with Ephesians, because he says, hey, here's how you guard it. Here's how you do it. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Church, if we're going to pursue Christ in greater faith each and every day, we must put on the armor that we have been given to protect and guard the deposit. We have got to put his armor on. And I'm guilty of this, and I know you're guilty of this, of how many days that we just jump into and we are not prepared. We are not prepared. And something happens and our faith is damaged. It's hurt. It's shook. Right? Why? Well, the evil one's shooting darts because we didn't put on the shield of faith, because the shield of faith extinguishes all the flaming darts of the evil one. You ever get popped? Flaming dart got through. And I didn't face it with faith. I got scared. I got worried. I got fearful. Well, that's not the spirit that we've been given, is it? No. We've been given a spirit of power and love and self-control. But when I do not put that faith in front of my heart, what happens? Well, life happens, but what happens to me? I get injured. It gets through. So Paul here says, look, every single day, number one, you've got to understand, not from a place of fear or a place of worry, but a place of victory, the enemy is still out there trying to hurt you. And you're not going to be victorious if you don't put your spiritual armor on. It is so important. And you and I are not going to be able to guard our hearts or guard the spirit that God has made to dwell within us if we are not suited up. And so Paul says, look, it's not enough. It's, okay, well, you know, you started the day, you said a quick shout out. Hey, thank you, Lord, for waking me up. I'm out. And then maybe before a meal, we might say, hey, Lord, thanks for giving us this sandwich. Amen. And oh, yeah, it's the end of the day, so we're tucking everybody in bed. So let's go ahead and say our prayers. Did Paul say, pray three times a day? You're going to be good. How much did Paul say to pray? At all times, ceaseless, always, always live a prayerful life. Live a life that is consistent with saying, Lord, I am giving this to you. I am trusting you with this. I am asking for your protection. I am actively pursuing you. It's one of the most important things that we can do. We guard our hearts with faith, and that faith is a constant reminder of whatever is fired at me, I will be fine. Because you are with me. Whatever happens to me, I'm going to still be victorious because you are with me. And as long as I keep you on that place, that throne in my heart, then I don't have to worry about all the things that are going to happen. I don't have to worry about taking damage because I'm not going to lose my life. I don't have to worry about getting hurt because I'm not going to die. Well, Paul says this is how we guard our heart. We face each and every day and we put these things on, these spiritual things on, because our battle is with the spiritual. Our enemy is not in this room. Our enemy is not at your work. Our enemy is not in your family. We battle against the spiritual forces of evil. You think the enemy's suiting up and getting ready for you? Every day. And we've been given what will make us be victorious. But if we leave it at home, if we set it down, if we are not actively pursuing Christ, even in defense of our own soul, we're going to have a hard time. We're going to have a hard time. So as we pursue Christ in greater faith each day, we have to put on God's armor. And we have to make sure that we do not fall to the enemy. So, some great advice the Apostle Paul gives Timothy. Some good advice. And, I mean, when I say good advice, I'm not just saying, oh, you know, hey, here's a good idea. Good luck with that this week. It is good advice. It's advice that makes for life. It's advice that makes our path victorious and clear and straight and in the steps of Jesus. And he says, this is how you get it done. This is how you get it done. So, actively pursuing Christ in faith. That's something we can take this week and do. That's something we can do. So, this morning, scan the room. Okay. I'm going to throw the invitation out there. I don't know who needs to hear it, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. All right? If you need to become a Christian, or you need to become an actively pursuing Christian, whatever you need today, if you need us to pray for you, to pray with you, you just need to let the body know, hey, look, I've been dinged up a little bit lately, and I've not been doing the things I need to be doing. Please join me in this. We're supposed to pray for ourselves and for each other. That's what we're called to do. So if you need some of that, let us know.